Today's message is going to be on
how words are doorways in our lives. What we say matters. Would you agree?
When we talk about the things that we say, if I asked you honestly, you can remember probably every harsh thing that's ever been said to you, right?
But if I was to ask you to remember any of the compliments, you probably wouldn't remember them as much as maybe the negative statements or somebody that said something to you or hurt you. Would you agree? Because words do matter. Not just as we go throughout life, but words are very, very important. In fact, God is the living Word of God. And when we have the Word of God and we study it, and what we profess and what we confess makes a difference in how we live and the reality of who we know. And so when we look into the Word of God today, I want to look at a word study, if you will, in professing and confessing and what that means. A lot of people, like I said, I've been raised in church. People have been raised in different denominations, maybe growing up. But to really understand, I always looked at church as the things I'm not supposed to do compared to the things I should do. And so it was always difficult because I didn't really know who Jesus was. I was told about Jesus. I was told what he did for me, and I'd hear the stories in the Bible, and I could see how they were important, but I didn't really fully understand who he was. I knew what it was like and how it felt when I did something wrong. I can feel it. I also knew that I could desensitize myself from how I felt about something wrong by just, well, it's not really a sin, it's not really bad, but who taught me that was the Holy Spirit working in my life began to reveal to me that I need the Lord. And so when I break this down, if you would turn with me to Colossians. What does it mean to be saved before we start? What is a Christian? Why? What happens if we don't? Okay, what is hell? Okay, how many of you believe in hell? Okay, I'm going to take that if you didn't raise your hand, you still believe that there possibly is a place of consequences, right? How many of you know that the church sometimes doesn't do the best job? When I say church, as the world as a whole doesn't always do the best job of representing who Jesus is? Right? What did Jesus come to do? To seek and? Who first loved us? God did, right? That he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us. So, as Christians, as people who believe in God, we have a responsibility, right? We know, but who actually works on the heart of the person? The Holy Spirit. Are we the Holy Spirit? We can be a vessel that the Holy Spirit can use, right? But I believe that God has put it in everybody's heart, including in this room, even outside in the world, that there is something more to life than 9 to 5, retiring, and having children. That we are meant for more, right? And I say that because a lot of the times we can get into the routine business as usual, we go through these motions, and we forget that the words that we say and what it really means to confess to be a Christian and what it means to profess. How many of you know the difference between confessing and professing? Confessing, what is confessing? I'm confessing my sin. I confess that I have fallen short. I confess that I need Jesus. I confess that I can't be good enough on my own. I confess that I have had hatred, bitterness, and murderous intentions in my heart. Not literally. But they have been there. Right? I confess that I'm lost. I confess where I'm at right now before the Lord. I need you, God, in my life. Professing is who God is and what he's done. Even if you don't see it, we're going to profess it. Jesus, you are Lord. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. God, you are holy. You are righteous. I'm professing the goodness of God. It changes things because our words are important. When we confess, it's showing where our heart is. We need God in our life. How many of you know that when we get older, we begin to maybe not recognize just maybe how much we need him? Or maybe we know that we need him, but we still are polluted with things in the world that we're not really fully allowing God to finish or continue his work within us. I say this because a lot of the times when I ask people what a Christian is, the majority of the people in the world say they're Christians. But what does it really mean to be a Christian? You can tell me you're a Christian. How will I know if you are one? But we all make mistakes, though. But what's important if I make a mistake as a Christian? Godly repentance. Taking ownership. Admitting when I'm wrong. Allowing the other. You don't have to be right all the time. Right? That's a sign of, and that's also kind of part of the fruit process, right? What does Galatians say the fruit of the Spirit is? Long-suffering. Patience, right? All of these things. We can't possess or walk in those things without the Holy Spirit working in our life. Religion is like theater in a way. We can pretend, but when it comes down to the fruit, there may not be a lot there. It is our personal responsibility as individuals to know where we stand and what we believe and why we believe it. It says in the Word of God that you should be able to give a reason for the hope that you have, right? So I'm asking you, when I say, what is a Christian, ask yourself, what does it mean? We can repeat what we know, but do you really know who Jesus is and what he has done for you? Do you know the consequences? One, how many of you know, what's the main thing that sends someone to hell? Not their sin necessarily, but rejecting the one who saves them from their sin. Rejecting the one and only hope that they have. You know, there was a fear, and it says in Hebrews, right? There was a fear of Christians where they would, let me see how I rephrase it. I'm trying to think of it. A form of godliness, but they deny the very power thereof to change them. In other words, it was easier to be a Pharisee and a Sadducee than it really was to be a true believer. Because they denied the very power of the Holy Spirit that would allow them to walk in the newness of life that they were called to do. So when we look at professing and confessing, I'm not picking on anyone here today. I can say that there's areas in my life where the Lord says, why have you allowed this in your area where I've given the enemy a foothold? And a lot of it is in the words that I speak. All right, so we're going to look at professing and confessing. And if you haven't, and if you want, you can turn with me to Romans 10. I'm going to read it, 9 through 10. 9 through 10. Now, Paul in Romans, when he is saying this, he's also addressing religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they wanted it to be Jesus and the ones that were coming in to the fold. Jesus wasn't enough. It was Jesus and the law. Jesus and this, right? Why would people maybe do that? Add steps and stuff that wasn't really what God had planned. They want a part of it, and they want to take ownership of it and maybe lord themselves over others. Does that make sense? I've lost some of you. Stick with me. In Romans 10, 9 through 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe, you will be saved. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It is with your mouth that you profess and your faith and you are saved. So to declare or confess in that word, it's the same as declare. It comes from homologia, and it means to openly acknowledge Jesus as Lord. It speaks what your heart believes.
It speaks what your heart believes. So it's not a quiet thing. It is to openly declare your faith in Jesus. You're saying, Jesus is the Lord of my life. You're not saying that you're perfect, but you're saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God, and I need him in my life. You're not embarrassed to say it. You're not saying it quietly. You're saying it because you believe it. And that doesn't mean you don't have moments of doubt and frustration, but you're still professing what you believe. Amen? It says also in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. It's boldly when it says those, he will also, now this is what I want you to check out here. In acknowledgement, we see acknowledge twice. If you acknowledge God, he acknowledges you. If we acknowledge him, but in the actual Greek, it changes. It changes. It's exomologeo. I said that wrong. Hold on. Exomologeo. And it means it's a final saying, like Jesus is signing his name upon you, and he's saying it is done, and he declares you in heaven before the Father. That's what it's saying. In other words, it's not like it's finished. Does that make sense? But if we just read it on the outside, it says to acknowledge, you think it's the same, but it's not. Our acknowledgement is saying who God is and what he's done in our life and that we've accepted him. This is God saying, you are mine. It is finished. You belong to me. When you think about it, that's how God views us in our relationship with him. When we come to Jesus and we truly give our life to him, we don't try to be good. We become good because we get closer to him and we basically say, I am yours. We don't make it like, oh, well, I'll give God this. No, I am yours, Lord. My life is yours to do what you want to do with, to take me where you want to take me, to use me however you see fit. Anything outside of that, we can be corrupted. Anywhere where you think, well, I don't know if I want to give my life to the Lord. I don't know what that really means. You don't have to have all the understanding, but that's why Jesus says to come unto him like children. Why? Because children are trusting. They don't have all the answers. They know authority, and they know the one who provides. They know who feeds them, who takes care of them, who clothes them. And that is how we are to be, trusting without even a care of what happens, because we trust in him who owns us. But see, we live in a world where there's just distractions. Someone said to me the other day, there is power in words. People believe it. Whether you think so or not, the biggest lie the enemy has ever got people to believe is that he doesn't exist. The devil is a liar, and he's really good at lying. But we forget he's also an accuser. He makes accusations against us because it's somewhere in our life we have given him a foothold. When you give the enemy a foothold, and there's a lot of Christians who do, including myself, there's times where I have to repent because I've given the enemy a foothold, either in my thought patterns, something I've allowed myself to watch that I shouldn't watch, music that I listen to that I know does nothing for my spirit but totally influences my flesh. You know what I'm talking about, right? All of those things is part of the realm that we live in. The enemy is the prince and the power of the air. What you hear, what you see, your eye gate, your ears, your everything. He is an influencer, the greatest of all time, and he comes to influence because if he can keep you stagnant and not growing in the Lord, he's got a lot of accusations he can use against you. How does it say that we come into the throne room? With confidence, not in you, but in what Jesus has done. When we know what Jesus has truly done for us, we stop looking at our shortcomings and we look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. But the enemy's going to continually remind you of who you are, what you used to be, and how nothing ever changes. That's what he does. And we give him real estate in our life.
When we allow the devil in and we give him an inch, he digs trenches. When we get angry and we don't handle something the right way, we give the enemy an inch and he digs trenches. And then he sets up shop. And then when we say, well, we don't want it, guess what happens? He's all, well, you let me in your life here and I put my flag down. This is my area because you gave it to me. This is my area because you gave it to me. You allowed it, and so therefore I am here. But you can rebuke him in the name of Jesus with your words, and you can confess that Jesus is Lord and take away that authority, not you, but in the name of Jesus, you can rebuke him and he has to leave. When you declare that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that you've accepted him in your life, you have the authority, not in you, but through him in his name, to say, you know what, Satan, be gone in the name of Jesus. These evil thoughts that I'm having, gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, I confess this sin before you. I have sinned and fallen short. I gave myself to anger. I flipped my neighbor off. Whatever you did, I'm just using that as an example. I cheated on my taxes. I said some meaningful things when I know I shouldn't, and I was hurtful. And you confess that, because if you don't confess it, you give the enemy ownership still in that area because you are not confessing it. When you confess what you have done, people go, well, I don't know. I don't need to put my dirty laundry in front of everyone. You could do this in a closet. I confess, Lord, that I have doubted you. I confess, Lord, that I have looked at things I shouldn't look at. I confess, Lord, that it's easier for me to be angry and curse the darkness than it is to be the light. I confess, Lord, that I've fallen or I stumble. And you just keep confessing and confessing and preaching the word of God over your life. And we're going to see in Psalm 70 and Psalm 70 and Psalm 77, write them down, because you will see a pattern as the psalmist speaks and then begins to confess who God is. There's power in it. I was looking up the word abracadabra. Does anybody know where the word abracadabra comes from? We think about pull a rabbit out of a hat. Abracadabra comes from the Aramaic. It's got long terms, 2,000 years old, biblical dating here. I'm going to break this down for you. I want you to hear me. Abracadabra is an evil way of saying, as I speak, I create. It is the enemy's way of saying, now you'll see how this all ties in. It's the enemy's way of saying, just as God has spoke the world into creation, spoke the world into existence, I have the authority to speak and create. What do you think spells are? Do you know why people chant in the occult and esoteric type things? There's chanting and things that happen. Why? Because they believe in the power of their words and that it will change and manipulate their circumstances. Paul was dealing with this in the book of Colossians. He was dealing with this Gnostic type heresy that was in the church. It wasn't outside. These were believers in the church, and he was dealing with it. He wrote this letter to address these heresies. The enemy knows. The people who participate, it's not a conspiracy. People who are in the occult, perfect example, Lady Gaga. She has a song called Abracadabra. In that lyrics, within her words upon the screen, hopefully you don't see it, but if you have, some of you already know what I'm talking about. In it, she is chanting, and if you look at it, it is deeply rooted in the occult. As above, so below. As in heaven, so below. It is declaring authority to change and to create something that they've never had the power to create. But see, as Christians, we have the power, not in our name, but in Jesus' name. As long as we are a vessel unto him to serve him, you have authority, because it's not your authority. It's God's authority. And it's not for you to have everything you want. It's for you to speak truth in love, and to speak the truth with authority, because it's not yours, it's Jesus and what he's done. I say this because even today, there's areas where we allow footholds into our life, and you cannot look at certain things because the reason that they do that and portray it, how many music videos have you seen that you don't see occult activity in it? Huh? But am I seeing things? I don't have to tell you. You've seen it yourself. And once you see it, you always see it. The enemy is always at work to deceive and manipulate and to bring a false form of something. The thing is, Christians don't understand. You can't play with those things and not be tainted by them. And it's not just Lady Gaga. It doesn't matter. You can go through all the... She's just one of many in the world system. But from these things, they are practicing occult activity, and people and Christians are like, oh, it's not affecting me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's affecting your mind and the way you think. It will affect your attitude. How many of you know music can change the way you feel? Right? There's fight songs, isn't there? If you're going to get in a fight, you're probably not going to listen to Randy Travis. You're going to listen to AC/DC, maybe Megadeth, maybe Metallica, right? You're going to listen to certain things that are going to encourage that type of spirit within you. That's where you see the power. Don't say there's no power in it. There's power in it. The enemy, that's how he gets a foothold. I say that because even I myself, there was a time in my life I got so fascinated with ghosts, I had to watch Ghost Hunters. Why? Because I'll be honest, I'll tell you why. It's before I was a pastor. I was struggling with whether or not God was real, and it was easier to look at darkness than try to sit and be still for the light. So I wanted to watch anything that would somehow convince me in another realm. And I would put myself there, and I remember now my kids are having nightmares. My kids are having nightmares every night. Weird things are happening. A friend of mine comes to visit that I was in YWAM with, and he noticed that it was on the TV, and he's not some super spiritual guy or anything. And he says, dude, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? It's entertainment. He says, you're opening a door, man. I'll tell you right now, you want to find the enemy, he'll let you find him. Especially when you're walking out from the covering of God. The covering is Jesus and the cross, my friends. Don't think that you can just go do whatever you want and it doesn't have an effect upon your soul or others around you. If you are a Christian, you are to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are to know him intimately. Are you going to make mistakes? Yeah, you'll make mistakes. But you know who you believe in. You know who has you. You say, God, I am yours. Confession is an agreement with God. You name the sin exactly as it says in 1 John 1:9. You name the sin exactly as God sees it. Lord, I have pride, I have greed, I have lust, I have anger, I have unforgiveness, I have bitterness. I'm angry at you, God. You can confess that. I'm angry that this happened in my life. You can confess that. You take the words and you say, as it says in Hosea, they ask, God, you forgive all our sins. There's also corporate and general confession. We see that in the Bible in Nehemiah 9, chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. Israel stood and confessed the sins of the ancestors. They confessed sins that they didn't even do, and they confessed it and said, God, we give you this. This is not who we are. There's also a warning for false or incomplete confession, of not confessing who God is in your life. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Is there anyone without sin in this room? Okay. Just had to do a double take. Psalm 66, 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not listen. Wait, you mean if I willfully cherished certain things in my life that I know are not healthy spiritually and not what God wants me to do, you mean he can't hear my prayers? Isn't that what that just said? So if you're going, well, I can't hear God, are you in a place to really hear him? Right? I have to, these are things you do when you're in a hard place. You say, God, reveal in me. Let's look at David. David was an adulterer, luster, murderer, bad murderer, like not accidental, like premeditated. And when he was brought, and it was brought to his attention, he confessed. And what does he say? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me. You're the only one, O God, who can do it. He confessed his sin. He said when he didn't confess it, he couldn't sleep at night. The cords of his sin bound him and tied him up. You know that restlessness can come from unconfessed sin? Anger and frustration. You know how many people are angry and have unforgiveness that binds them up to where they could barely breathe and they don't understand why they're so frustrated and so anxious all the time? Something is undealt with, possibly under the surface. And you could say, Lord, help me forgive this person. It doesn't matter if you were done wrong. It matters. Yes, God sees your pain if someone had harmed you and did something wrong, but you don't have to live under it anymore. You can confess Jesus is Lord over that in your life. God, you are over that in my life. I confess that I'm holding on to it. I want to get rid of it. I repent, which means to turn away from, to change your thinking, to be different, and recognize when you're not. And that's when you say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Change the way I think about this, the way I see it. When we confess God's name in Psalm 105:1, it says we proclaim his name and make known what he has done. We proclaim his name and we make known what he has done. In Hebrews 13:5, it says the sacrifice of praise and lips that praise his name. It is a sacrifice. God also said he desires what over sacrifice? Obedience. Sacrifice is, oh, I'm going to do my due diligence. Okay, here we go. I'm done with that. I'll wait till next Sunday. Go do this. But then when you're on your way home from church, he tells you, hey, you need to go call so-and-so. Well, they talk a lot. I don't know if I have time, right? You're laughing because some of you know what that's like. Or something else that you say no. Obedience is the key to growing and hearing what God is saying. Know this, confession may cost you. It may cost you. In Luke 12:8 through 9, it says, whoever acknowledges me and whoever disowns me. So let's go there. Turn with me to Luke 12:8-9. Luke 12:8-9. This is going to be a two-part series, by the way. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God, but whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We're going to go into a little more depth on that next week because that's a lot in that. But confessing. We confess, publicly acknowledging. A lot of people say, well, my religion is private. Okay. Why? I'm not telling you have to go beat people up with the Bible. You should meet the need. You should be kind. You should love the neighbor as yourself. You know, the basics. But you should be able to preach the Word of God and tell them what the gospel is and tell them what Jesus did for them. Yeah, you need to know when. And the Lord has opened a door. How many of you know the Lord opened? Who prepares the heart for you to share the gospel? Jesus does. There's time and a place, right? As Christians, we still have the responsibility that we need to do that. But a lot of people go, well, I don't want to be associated with those people on TV. Well, you need to be associated with the true God, Jesus Christ, and the true gospel, and know that, hey, someone might have a wrong, when someone says, hey, you're like one of those Christians that do this, I go, where did you get that information? I try to be different. I try to be what the Word says, because God's already working on them. I don't have to have all the right answers. I just need to be obedient. When he tells me to speak, I speak. I say what he tells me to say, and I say it. You see, when people understand that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one, and I looked it up in the original language, that means no one. Not a little bit, not maybe. It means no one comes to God but through him. If you want to believe in many gods, supreme being, and all these other things, you can do that. But just don't put Jesus in it. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Not more than one God, one God. Jesus said that. That's what he said. Those are his words. And if you want to truly experience healing and restoration, it only comes in one place. And it starts with that gospel message of asking Jesus, hey, I confess my sins to you, O God. I ask that you would come into my life. You profess him to be the Lord of your life. It doesn't mean you're sinless. Doesn't mean you're perfect. But you're putting yourself in a place to be pliable. You're putting yourself in a place to, if he wants to break you down, he breaks you down. Why? Because he's going to build you up the right way. You wouldn't want to put a new house on a bad foundation. Sometimes God's got to tear the foundation that you built to put the right one down to build the person that he's called you to be, to glorify his name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Like I said, this will be a two-part series. We're going to speak more in that. And the reason I spoke about the power of words is because the enemy knows there's power in it. That's why so many people try to do it, but they're doing it for their own personal gain. They're trying to gain something, wealth, stardom, whatever you want to call it. But they practice these things, and it's not just Christian perspective. That's what their fans say, and that's what they say themselves. We as Christians, we have the living Word of God. We have the authority that God has given us in his Word. We are to be a light in the darkness. So you can confess your sins before God and where you come up short and know that God is the author and the finisher of your faith, but he will not move if you do not confess where you're at. Honestly, where you're at. When you make a mistake, you go, well, I feel like I got to confess a lot. Join the club. It all depends on the temperature outside and what's happening. Some days are easier than others. And I don't care where you are, there's no money that gets you to a certain level, there's no knowledge you've obtained that someone else doesn't. None of those things, other than you being obedient when the Holy Spirit convicts and you say, God, I give you this. I want to give you this part of my life. Help me do it. Help me get through this. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and I pray for those that are here who do not understand or know what it truly means to be a child of God, and that, Father, you know them, you love them. They might not see your love. They might not understand you. But, Lord, I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would reach down and touch them right now, and that you would allow them to know that, Father God, they can call upon you, they can confess their sins to you and ask you to come into their life, into their heart, and know, Lord, and say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you with my life. I want to give you my life. I want to be yours. So, Father, I thank you that you've made a way for us. I thank you that your Holy Spirit guides and directs, that, Lord, you work on our hearts. You convict us. Lord, show us the things in the world where we've given the enemy a foothold, as it says in James, where we've allowed and carved out an area. And in that word, foothold, it means a ledge to actually give stake claim to. That, Lord, wherever area in our life that we've allowed the enemy to have claim, we rebuke it in Jesus' name, and we ask that you would take that, reveal it for what it is. Lord, help us serve you wholeheartedly, even on our bad days, that we would know that we can call on you and profess that you are the Lord of our life and our circumstances. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. If you have any questions or you would like prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you have any questions about what I said, please feel free to come and talk to me. I'd like to talk to you.